Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's turn to John, to chapter 10, and we'll continue our study of this wonderful parable. It's a lengthy parable. We discovered that last week, and that is because the Savior had to repeat himself and enlarge upon what he said in the first 5 verses of this chapter. He had to repeat himself because he just didn't understand them. That's encouraging for preachers, you know, because if people didn't understand the Lord who spoke perfectly, then we preachers who speak very imperfectly, we shouldn't be surprised if people find difficulty understanding what we're saying. Now we're going to read the opening verses again, just to remind ourselves of the basis of this parable. Verse 1 of John 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," you remember who the you are. We discovered that by just looking back at the last verses of the previous chapter, and the Savior is talking to the Pharisees. "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This parable spake Jesus unto them, the Pharisees again, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The Pharisees were men supposedly educated in all matters theological. They were supposed to be the experts in all matters related to God and his law, the Old Testament. But here they are, completely puzzled by the words of the Lord Jesus. Oh, boys and girls, the world is full of religious people who are totally blind to the things of God. You can come to a good church, listen to the Word of God plainly taught. You can sit in Sunday school and be taught the Word of God and yet be blind to what it means and what it's saying. You should ask the Lord to open your eyes, for we all need that. We all need that. Now, I pointed out to you last week how at the end of the Savior's explanation of what it was he meant by this parable, it says in verse 19, there was a division amongst them. Again, there are those, you know, who would tell us that if only we would preach like the Lord Jesus, stick to the gospel, then there would be no trouble and no dispute and no opposition to us. But those who think that and who say that are very, very mistaken. People were divided by what the Savior said. Completely divided. Divided to the extent, as you know, in the end, they killed him. It's not the methods of a preacher or his personality or his style or how he preaches that can be blamed for division and for opposition to the gospel. It's the gospel itself. That's what annoys people. They don't want to hear what it is that God is saying. If the Lord Jesus, who was perfect, and out of a heart that was true and loving and kind and burdened for those to whom he was speaking, if he caused division and people opposed what he was saying, then what hope have we preachers with all our feelings of avoiding such division? I would say the only way you could avoid offending people is to not preach the gospel, is to so water it down that it no longer is the gospel. When you do that, then people will say, "Oh, that was lovely. I did enjoy that. Oh, what a sweet sermon." It was sweet because there was nothing of the gospel in it. But we must be faithful, and we must preach God's word, no matter what the reaction of men will be. Now, there's some terms here in this parable that I think we need to explain. There are some things that need to be explained. I want us to think first of all about this sheepfold that the Savior is speaking about. There, at the beginning of the parable, he says, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. And if you don't really understand what it is the Savior means by the sheepfold, then you're not really going to grasp the rest of the parable. So let's start by considering just what the Lord Jesus is speaking about when he speaks about a sheepfold. The sheepfold actually is a wonderful picture of the church of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of that people who have publicly owned the Savior as theirs and who take a stand before men and associate themselves with the gospel. That's the church. And that's what the sheepfold speaks of. That's what the sheepfold is speaking of. The sheepfold in Israel was a separated place for the sheep to be taken into during the hours of darkness. It was a walled off area. And the sheep normally would have been out wandering the hills and the fields and the valleys during the day. And the shepherd would have just tagged along, as it were, following the sheep, looking after them, making sure they were safe, as the sheep fed, grazed on the vegetation round about. Then at night, they were all gathered together and brought to the sheepfold. Not only this shepherd's flock, but other shepherds and their flocks as well, all came together to the sheepfold. So there wasn't just one flock in the sheepfold, but there were many flocks in the sheepfold. And they were brought there at night for safety, for security, during the hours of darkness. For it's in the hours of darkness that the predators are out, prowling about. There were lions, there were bears in those days in Israel. You remember how David told the story of how he, as a shepherd boy, young teenager, had tackled a lion and tackled a bear that had raided his flock. So there were dangers. And the best way of securing the sheep at night was to bring them all together into a walled-off area, a sheepfold. And boys and girls, that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is. It's a place that's separated. And it's a place that we can find comfort. We can find friendship. We can find safety during the darkness. For this is nighttime in this world. This world is a place of perpetual night. There's no light shining in the world. It's a place of perpetual darkness. The world is an ignorant. The world is in darkness. Our minds are darkened. The men and women of the world, their minds are darkened because they haven't the light of the gospel. And in this darkness, the people of God gather together in what is called the church. And there we find safety and we find security and we find blessing. 1 Peter, the chapter 2 and the verse 9. 1 Peter, chapter 2 and the verse 9. And Peter is saying to the Christians to whom he is writing, he's telling them what they are. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the latter part of that verse is what I want you to particularly notice. Notice all the things you are. If you're saved today, here's God's description of you. A chosen generation, selected, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I always liked this verse because in December 1964, I was asked as an applicant for the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church to come before the presbytery and preach on this verse. I had never seen it before. I wasn't really that long saved, but I preached on that in the old church in Mount Marion. And it's been a favourite verse ever since, naturally enough. But boys and girls, we have been called out of darkness. That's where we were before we were saved. And if you're not saved this morning, that's where you are. You're in darkness. Now, when you're in darkness, you can't see. You can't see. You can't see what's in front of you. You can't see what danger there may be ahead of you. You can't see any of these things. And if you're yet unsaved, you can't see the beauty of Christ. You can't see the dreadfulness of the eternity to which you're traveling. You can't see it. The preacher might get most alarmed when he's talking about it and might show signs of real distress of soul that anybody should be going to that dark eternity. But you don't get alarmed because you can't see it. I'll tell you a story. I remember reading this little story in the great state of Arizona in the United States. I was brought on a visit preaching in Arizona, brought on a visit to the great chasm
known as the Grand Canyon
that there is in Arizona, one of the wonders of the world. You can stand on the edge of that chasm and you can look down and it's 1 mile deep. 1 mile deep? That's a long way down. And there was a little tourist information building and a lot of information about that great wonder. And one of the things was how it was first discovered and written about. It was a Spanish soldier came upon it. He was leading a troop of men. The Spaniards were early settlers in that part of the United States. And they explored that part of the United States. And this soldier, he was a captain in the Spanish army. He was with a troop of cavalry and they were scouting out the whole area. And it was getting to the evening time. It was growing dark. And the one thing in the United States I noticed was it got dark just like that almost. Within a few minutes, the sun had set and it was dark. Not like here where the sun may set at 8 o'clock, but at 11 o'clock you still can see some light round about. You can see plainly that which surrounds you. Not so in the United States, if I remember right. So it was getting dark, but they hadn't yet come to a place that would suit them for setting up camp. So he was riding on, and suddenly the horse stopped, and he tugged the reins, stuck the spurs into the horse, but the horse would not move. So he said, well, I don't know what's wrong with this brute, but we'll just set up camp tonight here. So they set up camp. And in the morning, he got up. And there, just yards away, was a great chasm.
The Grand Canyon.
And the captain hadn't seen it, but the horse had. And it would not go forward because it knew the danger. The captain didn't. You're a bit like that captain today. You don't see the danger that is ahead. You ignore the warnings that are given to you because you're in dark. But the person who's saved is brought out of that darkness and they're into the fellowship of the people of God, the people of light, the people of light. So the sheepfold that the Savior is speaking about here was a place into which the sheep were brought in the hours of darkness. Now it was a place of protection. I mentioned that nighttime is the time when the predators are on the prowl. But around the sheepfold, there was a wall built, good, big, strong, and probably a very high wall that would keep predators out. And they were safe. Sheep are a very vulnerable animal. They really have no defense. The only thing they can do is run away, and they're not even good at that. I'm sure every one of you, especially the boys, will have heard about dogs chasing sheep and ending up tearing them, wounding them, often killing them. And the poor old sheep couldn't do a thing. There wasn't one of the dogs hurt or injured. But the sheep were killed because sheep are defenseless creatures. And that's how it is with us, boys and girls. We have no defense against the dangers that threaten us. You have no defense against the dangers that threaten you. Our only safety is in Christ and Him alone. Look at Colossians, the chapter 1 and the verse 13. And Paul is speaking here of the blessed experience of the children of God, of the Christian. It says, we are those who hath been delivered by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're no longer in the darkness, you see. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And every Lord's Day, when the church assembles here and in many, many, many other places, you have a little branch of the kingdom of God assembling together in the light, looking for comfort and certainly looking for protection. Because the Lord Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. We're no longer under that power. We're no longer blind. We're no longer blind. The poor blind man or woman is under the power of darkness. They're enchained by darkness. They can't escape darkness. But when the Lord Jesus saves you, he delivers you from the power of darkness. Your eyes are opened and the light of God dawns upon your soul and you're translated out of that darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the sheepfold was a place that the sheep were taken to in the hours of darkness. It was a place of protection from danger. I would say that it was a place that shone in the hours of darkness because there would have been light surrounding the sheepfold. I think that would have been necessary because those who were on guard, they'd need light to watch out for predators. They need light to watch out for danger. They need light to watch over the sheep that they weren't coming to harm or maybe one of them taking sick during the night. They need light to see in the sheepfold. So it was a place of light in the midst of the darkness of the night. In John chapter 12 and the verse 46, and we'll end with a look at this verse. The verse 46 of John 12 says, and hear the words of the Lord Jesus, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Do you hear that, boys and girls? Whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I can remember, boys and girls, so clearly, the day that I walked out of darkness and into the light of God. Now, when we have been in the dark, maybe it happens in the morning, particularly Saturday morning, and you're having a nice lie-in, the curtains are pulled and the room is nice and dark. And in comes Mum, and she pulls back the curtains, and light floods into the room, and you're all startled and you're rubbing your eyes, and for a moment or two you're not just sure where you are. Well, when I got saved and was brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light, I too rubbed my eyes because I could hardly believe the things that now I saw. I saw the truth of God. I saw that I was a sinner, lost and undone. I saw that the Savior had come into this world and at Calvary had died to take my sins upon himself and be punished in my place. I saw the road ahead that now I was on that led to heaven. I remember the first time I went in to a church where the gospel was preached. It was Dr. Paisley's church. And I went in there and it was a marvel to see all those people, to hear this singing. I was in the light and I was drinking in all the things that I was now seeing. Oh, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth in me will not abide in darkness. Tell me, are you in the light today? Are you saved? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you? Are your sins dealt with? Or are you yet lost? May the Lord have mercy and bless his word to your heart that's bowing breath. Lord, do have mercy upon the children here. And they that are yet in darkness, God, speak to them. Have mercy upon them. Bless, I pray of thee. Take these words, feeble as they are, and apply them to heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.